Pastor George indicated we are talking about this book, the Bible. For the last several weeks, we have tried to get access to this book and tried to read it. And admittedly, this is or can be a very confusing, overwhelming, daunting task to read this book. Whoever has tried it and attempted it and tried to read it, you will admit to that. It is not all that easy and all that clean cut how we can gain access to this word. Over the last several Sundays, we have heard several claims about the Bible. We have heard that the Bible changes us. And the question that we would like to discover this morning is, how does it really work? How does it actually work that this book, this Bible, changes us? And this is not just an easy thing to look at this. In the end, I think it still remains to some extent a secret, but we still have some clues that God gives us in His Word, how we can understand how this Word, the Bible, works in us and through in us. But before we do this, let's remind ourselves again what the Bible is. In different words than we have already discovered, the Bible is the ongoing conveyor of God's revelation. It's the ongoing conveyor of God's revelation, of God making Himself known. It's the ongoing conveyor of this. It's this medium that is used, how God is speaking to us. It is a book, in many ways, of diversity. It is a book of ambiguity. It is also a book with textual problems. Whoever dives deeper into this book will bump into that. But the one thing that unites this book is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is at the center of this entire book, and if you better say, the library of books that we have together. It all points to Jesus. This book is, if you will, an autobiography of the pioneer people of God. It tells us about their encounters with God. It's a lot of stories you find in the Old Testament, how they encountered God, how they heard God speak, how they followed His advice. It's also a book where God's word is transmitted through prophets, people who heard God and then they wrote down what they heard Him speak. It is also a book where people have contemplated and meditated upon God and have put it into poetry, like the book of Psalms, where it's a lot of prayers and songs. So it's a diverse book, but it is this book that conveys to us the God that all served, the same God that we serve today, who revealed Himself to them. And as we read this book, we should never forget, this is what it is. We read about ancient people, the ancient people of God, how they interacted with God and God with them. We also mentioned this one word that is often connected with the Bible, that the Bible is inspired. And let's say this for the purpose of clarity this morning, that divinely inspiration means that in it and through it, we still hear God speak in a definitive way. We still hear God speak in this book. With all its diversity, with all its differences that we find in this book, it is still the book through which God speaks. And that also makes it different from any other holy book, by the way. We as Christians allow this book to be scrutinized by science, by anyone who wants to criticize it. There is no death sentence if you try to do that, as it may be in some other books. It is the book that you can scrutinize, you can research, you can take it apart. It still remains the book through which God speaks. Now the question is, how does it come alive? How does it do its work that we have heard several Sundays ago now through this last several Sundays? How does it work? And there is one clue to that if we read in the New Testament what Jesus Himself says about Him and eventually what this book will do, although it's not directly mentioned. The Bible comes alive through the Holy Spirit. And for those who have been in church long enough have heard that, you know, that the Bible and the Holy Spirit somehow are together and they work together, and it's true. The Bible comes alive through the working of the Holy Spirit. And without going into too much detail what the Holy Spirit is and what His function is, it is simply that the Holy Spirit is that third person of the Trinity, as church history has manifested it, is in their doctrines. It is the third person of the Trinity who represents God to us today. A Bible verse that might help us to understand this role in all of this is about out of the last long discourse or speech that Jesus gave to His disciples. Jesus was about to leave the earth. He knew exactly what's happening. He was about to approach Jerusalem. And He knew that when He approaches Jerusalem, His death is waiting. So He gathers His disciples together, and there's a long three chapters in the book of the Gospel of John that is a summary of all that He taught them in those last moments that He was with them. And in them you find in John 14, verse 26 this. He says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." As I've mentioned, Jesus is preparing His disciples for His own departure. He will leave. He will die on the cross. Yes, He will rise from the dead. But then comes this moment of the ascension when He will leave. And you can read about it in the book of Acts. And the disciples are quite frightened about what at all means and what will going on with them and what will happen to them. And here Jesus affirms to them, He will send them the Holy Spirit. And He gives them several names here. The Advocate. The Advocate. It's the same word that was used in those days for a lawyer. And actually it means, literally translated, to call someone to my side to help me. That's what a lawyer would do. He would come to your side and help you in matters that you don't understand. So this is what the Holy Spirit is. He was come alongside to help us, to prepare His followers for what is about to happen. The Holy Spirit is God's ongoing presence. You can even say it's His own breath. It is God's own inner life that He will give us and make available to us. And among several things that the Holy Spirit will do is that He will remind His followers of what Jesus has said to them, to let this come alive in them. You have to remember also the times. This was the time before smartphones. This was the time before any kind of recording devices or cameras or any of these things that would capture moments, capture talks, speeches. They didn't even have pen and pencil in those days that they could take notes. It was a tedious process to write something down, and He actually had people who were specializing in that to write things down. So they didn't have all that, but they had to remember what Jesus said and what He taught them. And Jesus says, "I will help you. The Holy Spirit will come and remind you of all that I have told you." Here's another text from the same three chapters. A little bit later on in chapter 16, He writes this, or Jesus says this, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." So Jesus highlights that the Spirit will come and He will guide them. He will lead them into what He called truth. It's a word that John uses very often about Jesus. He guides you into who Jesus is. He comes as a mediator, actively involved in the ministry of the disciples. And then when you follow the footsteps of the early disciples, you see exactly how that happened. There is a whole book dedicated in the Bible to that. That's the book of Acts. Here the early disciples now move on after Jesus left this earth and live now with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you go through all the speeches and all the sermons that are recorded, you find one thing. They go back to the Bible, what they knew then as the Bible, the Old Testament. And they recite this and quote it and talk about this and say, "See, this is all what God has said." And then they tell them about the things that Jesus taught them. When we come back now to the text that we just heard in Scripture, here we have another follower of Jesus who also relied heavily
on the Holy Spirit, on His work. He even quotes us in this text, as you may have heard it and recall it, and if you still have your Bibles open to this text, you can follow along as I read it one more time. And listen carefully how he argues here. He said, "Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. And we speak about these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. The unbelievers do not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The one who is spiritual discerns all things, and yet he himself is understood by no one. For he who has the mind of Christ so as to advise him, but we have the mind of Christ." Without going too deep into what Paul is doing here, but in the first chapter of his letter to a church in Corinth, he had to write to them and to explain to them why the message and the preaching was received differently. So people were hearing what the apostles had to say, and there were different responses. Some thought it just doesn't make sense, it's nonsense, it's just why would you tell someone about, you know, or preach about somebody who died a shameful death on the cross? And that's what he calls it here in this text, the word from the cross. And they said, this is pure nonsense. How can you tell us about somebody who we need to follow who died on the cross? Doesn't make sense. So they turned away. And then there were others who received this as good news, as the gospel, as something that really opened their eyes and that, wow, really, Jesus died on the cross. That is wonderful. And they could make sense out of that. And Paul was now trying to explain, why does it happen? Why is there such diversity in how people respond to when people preach? And he traces this back to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is working. And if he is working, he is opening up our hearts to understand this. And if it's not there, it's nonsense. It's just sometimes that it's not something that relates to us. So here is Paul, who understands the role of the Spirit as we read the Bible. There is something happening that is beyond our grasp and our power. It is that power of the Holy Spirit who works in us. However, it is not that the Holy Spirit opens our mind to some secret knowledge. There were some strands in Christianity, and even there today, that say so. This is very close to the Bible. In those times, those people were called the Gnostics, Gnosticism. When there was special knowledge, deeper knowledge, that you cannot access if you don't have certain tools. This is not what the Spirit does. He does not explain to us the Bible. He doesn't tell us what a text means. How do we know what a text means? Well, God has given all of us a brain. It's a wonderful gift. We can think. We can think about the text, read the text. And I always say when I was teaching in Bible school, I often told the students, turn your brain on. It helps. It helps when you think, when you read a text. But the Holy Spirit comes alongside our thinking and helps us to understand in terms of what it means in ways like that. It captures our attention. How do I know that the Spirit is at work? Well, there's several things that the Spirit does when I read the Bible. And these are not things that that I'm necessarily always aware of. It's not like, oh, that I know now something is strangely working in me. It's not like that. It's simply, for example, that I develop an interest in reading the Bible. Is already something where the Spirit of God may work in me. He helps me that I develop this kind of interest. I want to read this. I want to know more about this God. I am interested in Him. I want to know what He has done. And when those things all of a sudden capture our attention, we know He is already at work. When I have aha moments while I listen to His Word, while I read His Bible, is when the Spirit works. When I have, that makes sense. Never thought about this. Or when He brings Scripture into my mind. that I have read before, and at some point of time, all of a sudden, I remember what I have read, and I can put things together, and it makes sense. It's when the Spirit is working in us. He makes us humble to accept this word. He helps us to apply it to my situation when I feel spoken to. He convicts us with that when I read it, and then I feel like, well, if it speaks exactly to me. And I feel spoken to somehow, strangely, can't explain it, but I feel it. That's when the Spirit is at work. And He enables us to appraise certain things, to value certain things. So the Holy Spirit is no shortcut for me to read the Bible, to study it. But He comes alongside to help us. And therefore we have to say it in order to be complete, that the Bible comes alive by the Holy Spirit, by also by studying it, reading it. You will not get around it. Rigorous reading, disciplined study is needed, and there is no shortcut. In order for the Bible to come alive, we need to open it. We need to read it. We need to reflect on it. We need to even talk maybe about it. And as we do so, we always have to remember that this is not a novel. And for some who have never opened this book, that may be strange. You know, you may open it for the very first time and you look at this and, oh my goodness, this is just in all of different names up there, you know, and you try to make sense of all of that. Yeah, it's confusing. It's not a novel. You cannot just read it from page to page. You can if you want to. But if you have never read the Bible, it might not really be helpful that you just dive into this. You can dive into this book at different levels and different books, and that's okay. We'll talk about this next Sunday, God willing, that we will get some ideas how we can study this book and how it may make sense for us. But as I said, it is confusing, but what it also is, it is human language. I can actually understand that language. You and I can understand. It's words that we all speak. It's in English. I mean, yes, it used to be in different languages for many, many years. We always have to remember that's actually only until 1300, some around that in English, and then 1500, sometime around that in German, and then in other languages, that the Bible was in its original languages, or in Latin. So people didn't have access to that. But the Bible is now this kind of book where, as I read those different types of books in it, it paints a picture of God. It is a testimony of what God has done, what those early people have believed about God, and how God has worked with them. In that sense, it is a testament. You've heard it. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament. And it has nothing to do with like leaving a legacy behind or a testament behind. It has to do with testimony. It is a testimony of what people have experienced with God. It is still that location where God continues to speak to us. And the main thing that God wants to do to you and to me as the Bible comes alive is it wants to work faith in me. Faith. That's, if you will boil it down, is the main thing that the Bible wants to do. It wants to work faith in me. It creates faith in God. Well, the thing is that we've talked about faith not too long ago, but just to emphasize that we all have faith. Every person has faith. I mean, without faith, we wouldn't be able to live. It's simple as it is. Because we live with certain assumptions that make life possible. No, that's how we work. It starts from grabbing a can of beans in the grocery store where we believe that beans are in there. Because that's faith. We don't know. We can't open it up and look at it. We just believe it. So believing is a normal act of life. However, that doesn't mean that we all necessarily believe in God or trust in Him. And I like better to talk when we talk about God, instead of believing God, I rather prefer to say trust God. Because belief is this thing like, I believe God, and I believe that there is a higher being, and I believe that somebody is there, which is different than saying, I trust this God. I trust Him. So, and one thing that the Bible wants to do as we read it, as we expose ourselves to it, as the Spirit works on this, is working faith. The Apostle Paul writes in another letter to the church in Rome the following thing. He says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. and the message is heard to the word about Christ. And you see again the emphasis on hearing, because they didn't have any other means. They didn't have reading in those days because the scrolls were too expensive for anyone to have. So hearing was the main thing that you could rely on. And he says, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the words of Christ, the gospel. The word of Christ comes to us through this book, through what God has revealed to us in this book. And faith comes through hearing this message. What happens is, as we read these stories, we get to know God. As we get to know God, we learn to trust Him, that He is a trustworthy God. Because there is a testimony in the Bible of old people of old who trusted God, and how God was faithful over years to keep what He said. And we read these stories over and over and over, from Abraham and Noah and David and Moses and the prophets and the kings, and then the disciples and Jesus Himself. They trusted this God, and God revealed Himself to be trustworthy. So as we study the Word, we understand ourselves and we understand God, that we are part of His unfolding story. It tells us something, that we are meant to live for something larger than just for our own goals. It is for God's purposes that He has for this world. We understand ourselves to be included in what God is doing in this world as we trust in Him and become agents for Him in this world. And we hear in it and through it God speaking to us in a definitive way. We hear Him speak as we open our hearts to Him. So what are we going to do with this now? Three things. First, when we open the Bible and want to read it, it is a good thing to start out with prayer. If the Holy Spirit is the agent that helps us to gain access to what God wants to tell us, then it's a good thing to do, to say, to pray about, and says, God, please help me to understand what I'm reading here today. Help me to understand what that means. Will you please come and assist me with that? The second thing we need to do is to read it. To start reading it. And as I've mentioned before, we will hear more about this next week. But if you've never really opened up the Bible to read it, start with the Gospel of Mark. It's somewhere to the end of the book. It's in the New Testament. And you just will go through this and you will find it, the book of Mark. It is one of the shortest Gospels. Gospel is the story about Jesus. What Jesus did, what He said. And you will hear more about Him, because if you hear and know about Jesus, you will know who God is, because they are together. So you start reading it. Start to read these stories and open your heart, open your mind as you read them and say, so what is happening here? What am I learning? What am I learning about God? What am I learning about Jesus? What am I learning about the people that He interacts with? What is the problem? How does He solve the problem? Ask questions, questions. And the text will come alive. And then work your way through this. And the good way of studying, and again, more about this next week, is you have a little pen and pencil or computer, whatever you use, make some notes, write it down. You will forget. But this will help us to get a word into our hearts. And the third thing is very simple. Act on what you understand. Act on what you understand. If there is something you understood that God wants you to do, then act on it. Do it. That's a very simple step of obedience. How we take that which we understand in His Word to put it in practice in my life. And so I will get to know God better. And the thing that is one of those secrets is that in the end, you will only understand as much of God as you do what He says. Let me say it again. You will only understand as much of God as you do what He says. It is not just something to pump our brains full. It is something that we need to experience hands-on. How to live with this God. How to experience Him in my life. And how He works His way in my life is only by experiencing it, by doing it. And therefore the challenge then to put in practice that which I understand. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful that we have Your Word. And in some way that You have chosen, You just use this word still today to speak to us and to speak into our situations, to give us wisdom how we need to live this life, this new kind, eternal kind of life today. thank you that we have in your book a solid foundation of who you are, a revelation of who you are, how the people of old have experienced you and what you have told them. And just by knowing, God, that you are still the same, that you haven't changed, we have the foundation of even listening to this today and see how you are revealing yourself today. God, I pray that you will help us to take the step of obedience to just simply open your word and read it. Study it on a regular basis. Try to make it a habit to read in it regularly and to hear your voice. And then experience what it does. Help us to start this week. That we are becoming those people who are not just know about it, about you, but also experience you. Thank you that you will come alongside and that you will not disappoint us. You will help us. And we trust in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.